This is Shamir Young, bringing you the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast. Listen in as award-winning photographers discuss how they find opportunities, market their talent, and overcome mistakes to become respected, ever-advancing professional creatives. You'll also hear about their hard-learned lessons, as well as tips for making awesome images. You ready to take your photography business to the next level? Let's do it. And if you haven't already, be sure to pick up your free photography business bundle at prophotographerjourney.com/freebusinessbundle. It's 4 weeks of helpful free gifts delivered every 7 days directly to your email inbox. The first thing you'll get is the PDF e-guide titled 12 Common Business Tips and Mistakes Photographers Wish They'd Known Before Going Pro. And believe me, I've made quite a few of these mistakes myself. After that, you'll get a new free gift every week that will help you propel your photography business forward. So head on over to prophotographerjourney.com/freebusinessbundle and get yours today. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews I get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. And I want to reach as many people as possible. So again, please leave a review. I really appreciate it. All right, let's get to the interview. Hey, everybody. I'm here with freelance photographer Nida Cradle. Nida, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And, you know, I'm just so excited to chat with you and explore your journey as a photographer. And so first, I'd really like you to tell us about yourself. Give us an overview of your background, what you're doing now, and how you ended up where you are today.
Well, how I ended up today is the whole background for us in general. My husband, Corey, and I, we started documenting our life back in 2004, since things were happening a little bit quick as far as our engagement and marriage. So we actually started taking photos, per se, just being, you know, taking photos then in 2004. Since then, we've had two girls, and we've started going, you know, to different historical places and documenting our life and learning that a lot of the photojournalism side. We had soon learned that our photojournalism started going into more of the technical aspects behind photography, you know, making sure the light was right, making sure we had the right equipment and posing and things of that nature. Fast forward, as the girls have gotten older, I went out into the workforce in 2013. But then I realized I was working longer, and the girls, one of the girls, her school was suffering a little bit. So that fast forward, that people will always ask, are you a photographer? And I would say no. From 2013 is when, you know, we decided to go ahead and get a business and make it into an LLC to go about the process of, you know, turn it into a full-time business. So that's how we've gotten to where we are now. About a year, was it? Almost 2 years, this December.
Excellent. And just curious, you mentioned in 2013 when you were in the workforce, what were you doing specifically?
I'm more an optical technician.
Okay.
Like, you know, basically the person that does your eye exams prior to the optometrist, adjustments to eyeglasses and things of that nature. And then I was actually taking some assignments also with, you know, customer service. I noticed that those hours were getting a little bit lengthy, doing both of those things, basically just keeping myself busy with the girls until the girls would get home. So I did a lot of customer service on that portion, but I'm more optical technician by trade. I went to school for medical coding in the health information management field. I soon learned that I didn't like being behind a desk, and that's how I got into optical. So I was into optical for like 10 years.
That's interesting. And I was just curious because I love hearing about the backgrounds of photographers, because so many that I've talked to, they have backgrounds in engineering or business management or something that seems unrelated to photography. And then, you know, years later, they end up as a photographer. It's really fascinating.
Yes, because actually more when you get into optical, you do take a lot of photo optics. So you get to see the different perspectives as far as the health of the eye, you know, not just the visual portion. You're actually taking images of someone's eye from the back. And that kind of intrigued me a little bit more. So I, like I said, I started getting more technical, making sure different elements were covered for eye health. And we just, every time, you know, we took pictures on for landscape or anything else, we noticed that that's what we're doing, and we were taking more classes and getting better at it.
And so specifically, so that our listeners are all on the same page with you, what area of photography would you call your expertise right now?
My expertise right now is more food photography.
Ooh, okay.
Had an opportunity to do with a restaurant here in Clayton area, Manning's Restaurant. And I've noticed that I do like that area, setting up the design behind it and making sure the lighting is correct. I was doing more food photography from, just different weddings and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that certain lighting was not correct, but I was getting more into making sure those details are correct. So that's kind of more where I'm going into doing weddings as to date, as they come. But I am seeking more contracts in that area for food photography.
Which is an art form in and of itself, food photography. Absolutely. And it's not easy either. Now, I'm curious then, and you can take this next question from the standpoint of food photography or wedding photography or family portraits, whatever you prefer, but how do you get yourself inspired for a photo shoot?
Well, most of the time for a photo shoot, I just have to listen to, I do different reading, different collages. I've looked at different collages, listen to different music backgrounds, and then it comes from that. I can't say that I sit down and ponder over it a lot. It'll just come at any given moment, and you just have to write it down and then, or be able to bring it to the forefront later. But you'll think about it at the most inopportune times, and you just have to write it down and then try to get that together later. It's not that I actually sit and study one particular area. You could be cooking for the family and then like, oh, okay, let me do this set. I want to do something with fairies, with food or something like that. And it'll come at, while you're walking in a grocery store or anything like that. It's just a weird thing. It's not something that I actually have studied for that. I call that, my moment. Like, let me write it down or let me text myself a message to follow up on that.
When inspiration strikes. Absolutely. And I know what you mean, because for me, it happens in the shower or just when I get up and leave my computer. I can be working all day and, really trying to get inspired and get into that state of flow. And then as soon as I get up and leave the computer, it's like, oh, and then I'm rushing to find a pen, a piece of paper to write it down. So I'm so glad that you're pointing out that we have to be ready to record inspiration when it strikes us.
Because again, most of the time it does come like in the grocery store. I'm a couponer. Mm-hmm. So I sit and look at some of the pages and go, that didn't come out kind of like they wanted to. I'm almost sure it didn't, but they made it work. And I can look at it from there. That area has taken me a little bit more into glamour, helping out with women in our industry also.
Excellent. And for my next question, I'm curious, what makes a good photo stand out from an average photo, in your personal opinion?
I always have to ask myself, what makes it different than the next stone? Everyone could take a stone, but what makes it different? Did I pose it differently? Did I add a different clarity to it? Did I add different lighting? That kind of thing. Because everyone would take a picture of a bridge or a stone and, then they consider that art. It's not really art until I add something different to it, or it's like expounding a little bit more. Anyone can add a filter to it, that kind of thing. But do they know why they put that filter on there? Do they make sure that it's actually representing them well? So that's, I think, what differentiates you or makes it a good photo. Is it sharp? Is it what I wanted? Did I want to have haze on it? That kind of thing. That's what makes it a good photo for me.
And I'm so glad you bring up that point, because I was just chatting with photographer Malcolm Fackender, and he mentioned something that's right along the lines of what you're saying as far as how do you make a photo unique? And it's so true that you are what makes your photo different, your own personal style, your own personal vision, that element of yourself, because there are so many photographers out there and so many images. We're just flooded and inundated with images these days, but no one else can be you. And so while you could have a group of photographers take a photo of the same stone or the same landmark, every one of those photos would most likely come out different because of the person behind the camera. Do you feel that way?
Exactly. That's kind of, my husband and I both, we both can have an element or a landscape that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. You can take the photo and it comes out like, wow, look at yours. Then I can take one like, wow, look at yours. It feels very different. Even though we took the exact same image, he saw it as having darker shadows. Well, I may have saw it as having lighter shadows and more blue. But it comes out in your personality more of what you actually see in the vision for your photo.
Absolutely. And so your husband, he takes photos as well?
He does. He's actually listed under Night of Creative Photography, but he does not do it full time at this time. He's an engineer, so he kind of does that portion and allows me to run the business portion. Mm-hmm. He does help out a lot when it gets to weddings. because, you know, for weddings, you need two people that actually are on the same accord.
Yes.
And we'll be really good with that.
Excellent. Well, next, you know, I really want to talk about the tools of the trade, specifically the gear that you're using. And I try not to linger too much in this portion of the interview on the gear that you're using, because I've learned in doing this podcast that the gear is not the most important thing. Really, the most important thing is the person behind the camera. So very briefly, could you tell us what your typical go-to gear is for a photo shoot?
My typical gear is the Canon 6D,
mm-hmm.
and I'll include that with the 24 to 105 macro lens. I'll also take with me the 85 because that has a lower, it goes down to like, I think, F1.4.
Mm.
My 24 only goes down to F4. So if I want to go a little bit more stable, I'll go down to use the 85 lens with that. I will take the reflectors. I have a larger size reflector that I have with that also. So then if I'm doing an outside, let's say it's an outside photo for a wedding, I want to be able to, you know, bring in to have that hands free. So I'll have the reflector onto a stand in order to, you know, cause it not to blow out the highlights so much.
Mm-hmm.
If I am doing food photography, it works out well also because it allows me to bounce the light from the Mitros. And I do have the Photix Mitros for my center lights, and I have the Odins to go with that also, the Odin transmitter and two receivers. So then if I'm, you know, directing light for food photography, it comes directly on, but it bounces, you know, it allows to bounce off the reflector. So that's my main go-to things is, you know, I always take my Photix and I always take the Odins with me just in case. But some of the environments are a little dark when it gets to restaurants and things of that nature, and I do need to be able to have that extra light there. And I'll take my speed light, barn door speed light. I take that one also, just in case I need to have like a little backlight. Sometimes you can get the backlight from the bar mm-hmm. area there. You'll have more light in that area for, you know, to bounce off the glass. But it's better to take it with me to actually just add a little bit more element of light there. So I guess it gets kind of varies, you know. Most of the time, if I'm outside, I'll take the reflector. You know, if I'm not outside, I won't really do too much with my reflectors.
Right, and it does depend on the situation. And, you know, there's nothing worse than getting to a specific location and realizing that you don't have what you need. So
yes.
That's something to really remember and consider. And also, could you tell us then what your favorite photography accessory is other than your camera?
My favorite accessory would actually be the my holster, the strap. I love having my hands free in order to be able to pose. And it's the, I use the Carry Speed Slim holder. I don't think that one's no longer available. I would like something, you know, a pretty holder and that kind of thing, you know, the flowers and all that stuff. But I've noticed that's not really me as far as what I need to get done. My camera's a little heavier. And to be able to have just that strap on there, it allows me to free my hands up to pose my subjects, you know, I can actually tell them which way to go, but it's actually, I like to do hands on. So they feel comfortable with me if I'm actually doing more of a portrait with glamour, you know, and with food, I also have to have my hands free in order to be able to precisely put down elements in order to get the right shot.
Excellent. And as you're chatting, I'm glancing at your online portfolio again, because I've looked at it before, and your photos definitely have a nice soft style to them. Could you share with us what your post-process workflow is like as far as software?
The software that I used to use in post-processing, I go to the Lightroom, I think it's Lightroom 5 first.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in there and then I go through and, you know, make sure I actually analyze what's going to be my fives, you know, what's going to be my flags. I do go through that process to analyze because some things, if they're just not flagged or if it's not precise, then I don't go into it. You know, we could take 300 pictures, but only a couple of them will need to make it through. So I do go through the Lightroom first. I may need to, you know, clear it up a little bit in Lightroom, but then I'll take it into a little bit further and go through Adobe Photoshop. And the Photoshop that we have is the CC 2015. So I do use that one also.
Excellent. And so it sounds like you have a set system in place then.
I do. It's just, because if I don't, I'll be all over the place trying to find out what was I actually trying to accomplish with that particular one. So using those two together, the Adobe Lightroom CC 2015, and then going to the Photoshop, helps me to analyze it first. Sometimes it doesn't even need to go to Photoshop. You know, I can get what I need to get done out of the Lightroom process, but I like having that backup of doing that.
Absolutely. And knowing step by step how you're going to edit your photos, the particular workflow as far as going into Lightroom and then Photoshop, that makes your life easier because you know what you need to do. And also, I would say it brings your photos up to the same level. When you have a group of photos from a photo shoot, they all need to absolutely relate to each other. And so having your workflow set like that is really advantageous to you.
It is, because like I said, if I don't have a visual portion, I'm more visual. Mm-hmm. So I need to actually know, hey, this is what I did here, this is what I did there, in order to get to the end result. And that actually helps me prevent from so many mistakes and going back again, over and over. Prevents a little frustration a little bit too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, I've been there. It can be painful and time consuming when you do have to go back. Well, next, let's really dive into the business side of photography, specifically for you running your freelance business. And this is actually one of my favorite parts of the interview because we can all learn from each other. I found that no two photographers really do business the same way. And so I'm curious for you, what has been the most challenging aspect of being in business for yourself as a photographer?
Well, the most challenging portion for me at this point, I think, is recognizing that it is a business.
Hmm.
Like I said, we've been photographers, quote, since 2004, but it actually has not been a business for photography since 2013. So some of the relationships you may make early on, it's the difficulty of, you know, transferring it from just being a hobby to a business, whether clients or time-wise, that's been the area that I've had to actually make an adjustment, you know, only spend 5 hours on marketing, you know, 3 hours on editing, that kind of thing. Because, you know, a lot of things can sidetrack you when you're actually at home or in business for yourself. Make time to go out to the networking group, make the time to, so that someone can put the name with a face and you're actually, your work is being seen, you know. They can see your work on all different kind of forums, but until they actually put a name with a face, it's not really helpful
mm-hmm.
to get the clientele to come in.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're not the first photographer to say that the transition from being a hobby to a business can be tough. And, you know, one of the things I think that many people overlook, myself included years ago, is that taking photos is only a small portion of what you're actually doing when you're running a business for yourself. I know when I started, I had the romantic vision in my head that I'm always out behind the camera, behind the lens, snapping photos. And it was a rude awakening to realize that I had to do other things like marketing, like sales, like networking, and that, you know, I had bills to be paid. And so it's important to remember that as much photo taking as you're doing as much or more of the business side of photography.
You really are. And, you know, a lot of things would be distracting to you. It's kind of like, oh, you're a photographer. And, you know, you'll go to the event, you'll want to take the photos. But in the same sense, you have to remember that what is your why? What is my reason behind what I'm doing?
Mm.
It is for the love of the craft, but it's also to be able to have a sustaining business for my family, you know, to take care of my family. That is the why. It's not just because everyone has a camera, but not everyone has a love for photography. So when you have the love for photography, don't let your love for photography sacrifice your happiness of what you're actually supposed to be doing on the business side.
Absolutely. And tell us, what have you found to be the most effective techniques for getting new assignments, projects, and clients?
I'll say I'm still working on that a little bit, but my most effective techniques right now is to join the chamber, is to join your local chamber, be involved, be out there. You know, it's not going to be something that's going to be you're paid for, but in the same sense, you need to go to the different networking events. You need to get out there and be seen, being a part of your community, being a part of doing hands-on, asking how you can help somebody else. Once you actually do a trade with another company or someone else that's in business, that shows that you're willing to help someone else. And that's showing that, you know, when they think of photography, you want them to think of you. You want them to say, you know what, I've got a great photographer. And, you know, what you're doing is planting seeds right now. So you're planting seeds that that's how you want. When someone says photography, they think of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I look at it, as that's the most beneficial. And that's the way I've been able to get a lot of my clients in relationships.
Can you give us a specific example of how you partnered with another business in order to help them?
Yes, I can. Let's say the main one that I'm actually partnering with right now is Moni B Cosmetics. Moni B is a young lady that actually just kind of went into her business lately also, and she'll be launching a makeup line in October of this year. So it works out well that she is allowed to have clientele that, you know, need photos. You don't want someone to get all glamored up and don't have anyone to actually take that image with them home.
Mm-hmm.
Want to be able for them to, you know, once you get a facial or things of that nature, you want them to be able to actually see the end result. There's a healing that comes from being a photographer when it gets into the glamour portion. You know, you've got a whole makeover and you want to be able to remember that moment. You won't be able to remember that moment if it's in your camera or if it's just, you know, in your hand. You want to actually be able to look back at that image. So to be able to work with her as a makeup artist has been very rewarding for me on the glamour side.
Mm-hmm.
Other business would be Manning's restaurant downtown, Clayton, is, you know, I can actually walk by and see my images. You know, it's on a screen and I did that image.
How cool.
I did that image. And it's, you know, it's screening across there. Hopefully they'll use the images soon for, you know, their menu because it's a very good, they're very good images. I'm like, okay, I did those images. So it's a, it was really exciting to work with a new business as an opening restaurant and see how they've thrived. Food's good there, you know, and their images reflect the quality, and that's what you want. I wanted my images to help reflect that business, and I think that's pairing with that company was very good for me.
Excellent answer. I know I kind of put you on the spot with that one, asking for specifics. I really appreciate you sharing that with us, just so that our listening audience can really have an example, can see how it's done. Because I know for many people starting off, it can be scary reaching out, which is also why I'm so glad that you mentioned the importance of networking, of reaching out to your local chamber of commerce, of being hands-on, of talking to people, because we're not just islands onto ourselves. I mean, we can be, but then our businesses definitely will not be successful. It's about collaboration, you know? So excellent point.
That's one of the best things I think I realized that you can be in business for yourself, but not by yourself.
Mm.
So you kind of realize that it's better to have a cohesive unit versus a competition unit. All those things take a committee. I may be good at lighting. Someone else may be good at editing, you know, and that's what they want to establish more on. So I've learned to put down the barriers a little bit more when it gets to other businesses and other photographers. You know, there's enough people in this business that what's meant for you, you'll have. So mm-hmm. It's not a matter of trying to take something from someone, because that doesn't happen. When it's actually meant for you to have, your skill is very different than anyone else's, and your personality comes across through your photography that'll make it the right fit.
Absolutely. And I just wrote down a quote that you just said. I'm going to be quoting you in the show notes. You can be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. That is so true.
Yes, because once you think that you're by yourself, it really overwhelms you, and then you're out of business within, 2 months?
That's true. Excellent. Well, now, next, I'm curious, what have you found to be the most common mistake that you see other professional photographers make, or that you have made yourself? Could you share that with us?
Yes, I will. The most common mistake, I would say, is the transfer from hobby to business. Is actually, some people, I notice that they like to do a lot of bartering as far as their talent and your craft. You still need to make sure you have a contract. Whatever you're doing, make sure you have a contract. Make sure that those guidelines are very clear. Make sure that, you know, because if you don't have a contract, then you're going to be sitting back and wondering, well, why didn't they do this? Don't expect someone to be kind. Don't expect someone to assume that they will do the same thing for you as what you've done for them. So, you know, the whole thing of not having a contract and those things, that can be very detrimental. And I've realized a lot of people do that. I have contracts for family members. You know, really, you don't want to do business with family and friends, but I still, you can verify that your email confirmation of what you requested of me is what I'm going to do, and what I portrayed that I was going to do, that I will first fulfill that. Because if not, you'll be hurt, and then, you know, it's not really the field that you want to go in for your business. Once you're hurt and wounded, sometimes you can go into a whole nother area versus thriving, and you don't want that to happen. I guess secondly, that some of the others I've noticed that are doing is not really providing the quality work that you're saying you're going to do. If you know you're not skilled in that area, let your read up on it. Continually study. Don't be in business for 10 years and your photos don't reflect that you've been in business for 10 years.
Hmm.
You may have had a hobby for 10 years, but your business skills should have changed for, you know, if you've been in business 2 years, it should be increasing. Your quality, your style should be increasing. You shouldn't be still putting out the same quality you did when you were as a hobbyist.
Those are two excellent points, and I want to touch on both of those briefly. As far as outputting and producing quality work, you know, it's so easy for anybody to buy a digital camera these days, especially as they get more and more affordable. But you're right, you do have to study and you have to practice. Even if you don't have a client lined up, even if you don't have a project or a photo shoot that day, you need to get out there and continue to sharpen and hone your skill. And number two, you mentioned not having a contract. That is huge. And that is something that so many of us learn the hard way. And while it may be potentially awkward, or perhaps you might think it would be awkward or uncomfortable to have a contract with family members and friends, it actually can help reduce headache later. Because, like you said, both parties are on the same page. They each know what's expected of them. But also, I would even say that, especially with family members and friends, it attaches a value to your service. They know then that you're not doing it just as a hobby, but that you're actually a professional. And, you know, even if you're giving them a discount, it was another photographer I was talking to that suggested this, and it's where if you're giving them a discount, still invoice them. Make sure they see what you normally would charge. And then, you know, you can apply that discount on the invoice, but they need to see in writing what you're worth and the value that you bring. Absolutely.
It's great that you said that, because on my contracts, actually, that's what I do. I'll have on there discount given for travel, or discount given for engagement session, mm-hmm. valued at whatever the amount, say it's $500, and then, you know, reduced for. So they actually see the information, because if they don't, you'll be minimized for your talent and your quality.
Definitely. And that really commoditizes photography in general, which is something that's running rampant everywhere. We're competing on price. It hurts everybody. It hurts all the photographers. And so it's really up to us to be responsible in how we conduct our businesses with the contracts, and also with how we put a price tag on our services. Now, next, I'm curious, what's one thing you wish you knew before you stepped into this professionally and began that transition?
One thing I wish I knew.
I know it's a tough one, right?
It is a tough one. I guess the same thing. Either conduct the time span, you know, as far as the time span within home, family, and life balance, to continually be in the network groups. I think for the first 6 months, I would, you know, try to put more things ahead than where you were. You want to make sure you have a good foundation, but in the same sense, you want to make sure that you're not overdoing it. Write a to-do list, even if it's as simple as follow up with one client, follow up with two clients. You still need to make sure you give yourself a systematic way of doing things, or you'll always feel like you're not doing enough. There's only so many hours in a day, so do what you're supposed to be doing in that hours of the day, so then you're not up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning wondering, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that. That's the things that I wish I would have learned a little bit earlier, but it's such a happy balance now with that portion. You know, if I'm awake at 3 o'clock, it's because I intended to be up awake at 3 o'clock. Give your clients a guideline. If you're only going to be getting 2 images to them, let them know, this is what I'm going to be getting you, 2 images within 24 hours. And then the others are expected in 2 weeks. Those are the things I wish I had known a little bit earlier for us getting my business up to date with, and just doing the follow-ups. You know, that's the biggest part, is, you know, as far as following up with the clients. That's very good, and that's very well, because people just drop statements if they want to get photos. It's a little bit more than just getting photos. You want to make sure I get your vision. Mm-hmm. And that's the portion that I do ponder on a little bit more. Make sure that, you know, if I had known a little ahead of time. But I have no regrets as far as everything that has transpired with us with business. I just want to make sure you continue to put a value. That's the biggest part. Continue to put a value on your skills. Don't take your craft for granted, because the minute you take your craft for granted, other people will also. Mm. And your love for the craft will soon turn into a sore, where you'll feel like you're being taken advantage of.
The minute you take your craft for granted, other people will also. That's another quotable moment. Oh, it's so true. It is. And, you know, even back to that lifestyle balance, you know, that can be tough. When you're going in for a typical job where someone else is your boss, you have your set hours and you go to work, you come home, and sometimes you bring home work with you. But I would say on average, it's definitely less than when you go into business for yourself. Because like you said, you can find yourself working until 3 or 4 in the morning. And, you know, not realizing what happened. It's like the day, the week, the months can get away from you, especially when you haven't systematized how you operate. Have you read the book E-Myth The E-Myth Revisited?
I have not.
It's actually an excellent book, and I'd heard about it for a while. It's called The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. I highly recommend it to you and our listening audience. I actually had not read it until about 5 days ago, and it was because another photographer recommended it for this podcast. I was talking, and in the midst of the conversation, she said that it revolutionized her photography business. And so I've heard about the book for years. Didn't read it until, like I said, 5 days ago, but it goes into making, documenting and systematizing your business. It's not specifically for photographers, but it's huge because it goes into things as far as, you know, burning out and constantly working in your business, but not getting anywhere. And so that just really came to mind when you were talking about being systematic. And like you said, having a plan and knowing what you're going to do and continuously attaching value to your service.
It is. I'm looking at it now on Amazon. It does look like a great book. The systematic portion, I'm not more of the, I got to have the visual with it. Mm-hmm. My husband is very good with being systems. He has a system for everything. You know, we know, a month out that we're doing our vacations, but point taken, that it does. That's the only thing that keeps us sane, to have a system. And E-Myth Revisited, that's look great. Why most small businesses don't work and what to do about it. Got it.
And in the very first chapter, I mean, it was talking about me years ago. And even the photographer I was talking to, she said she cried through the whole book. Because she was at a point where her photography studio, her business had, I don't want to say it had ruined her marriage, but it was a large component of it, where it, the lifestyle balance was off. And so for her, it was a gut check. And, you know, for many of us, it can get to the point where you've overworked yourself so hard that you're forced to make a change. And I mean, I've definitely been there as far as health, my health suffering years ago, and then you're forced to make a change. And I would highly recommend that, you know, our listeners check that out if you haven't already. And actually, that brings me to my next question. Is there a particular photography resource, a tool, online course, a book that you would recommend to our listening audience today?
Yes, it is. I get a lot of information from using Creative Live. There's one, you know, there's different ones that come on continuously. You know, you really don't have like 4 days out of the week that you want to sit and look at a Creative Live video. I would say invest in the subject that you want to pursue on Creative Live, because they do have those $99, you know, video packages that you actually can own. So that helps you to narrow down what you actually are going into. You can watch it. Once you watch the different videos online, then actually go a little bit further and purchase those. I'm not really dedicated to any one source of resource as far as learning. I've done the lynda.com. I've done that area. I do YouTube, but what I find out with YouTube, you have to make sure that there are so many people that are trying to teach that not taking the time to learn. Mm-hmm. So you have to actually find someone that you actually, you know, after you listen to it for a little bit, apply the information that they've given you. If that information is not working, don't do it. Don't go any further. You know, it's kind of like, don't keep doing the systems, because you'll get so many different systems, and what works for one person is not going to work for another. Mm. Someone will tell you that you're only supposed to do this, at, you know, do this with your light. But in the sense of the thing, are you actually using your grid inside? Are you using your camera for what it is? Have you even read the manual to your camera? I meet photographers that haven't read their manual. How are you a photographer without reading your manual? So you want to why it's doing what it's doing. So I actually use a variety of resources as far as educational background. But like I said, the best one I found is once I'll, you know, see a topic on Creative Live, I'm like, okay, that's not for me. You know, I won't listen to that one any further. Or I'll say, yes, that one's for me. I'll purchase it, you know, and keep it so I can study over and over and over. It's not required that you look at it for just 1 week. Something that may have helped me last week won't help me. I need to go back and revisit it from 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. When you first took a picture 3 years ago, does it look the same? How was your editing skills? I'll go back and re-edit something, you know, as I learn more in Lightroom and Photoshop, those things. So I do use a variety of educational tools. As I've stated, I'll use B&H. I've used those also. You know, different ones that I know about, then those are the ones I'll use.
And, you know, I have to laugh because you mentioned about photographers not reading their manual. That was definitely me years ago when I first started out. You know, What rules have I not broken? And I learned the hard way, and I was so excited to get started. It's like, I don't need a manual. And then I start taking photos and I'm getting frustrated because I simply don't know how to do what I want to do. And then I had to go back and read the manual. But you're right. I mean, that's something that is so easy to overlook. And that manual is a wealth of information. I mean, I still consult my manual now from time to time. It's a great refresher.
Yes, I'll go back to that area. I've been in networking groups with various area photographers, and they'll ask me, well, what is that button? And I'm looking at them like, you know, did you read your manual, you know?
Right.
No, point blank and tell you, no, I haven't read my manual. Start there first. Let's do that. You're doing someone a disservice for charging them for something that you don't even really know how to do. Mm. And again, that still kind of goes back into giving them quality, you know, taking yourself seriously. You know, they're not taking you seriously because they've got the other photographer over here doing $20 shoots and $20 shoots. And it's not clear, but that doesn't matter. What are you doing? What are you doing to help us keep photography up and running?
Definitely. Those people,
they'll burn out. You know, they've been in business for 10 years. Well, they'll say they're in business, but are they registered? You know, are you registered with your state? Have you even looked into being a professional photographer, you know, the PPA, they have a value of information. Yes, this is my second year, but it's so valuable, you know, as far as, so you don't have to keep asking other people about what should I do with my insurance or what should I do with this. It's very helpful that it is called professional network. Some things are not beneficial, you know, just kind of, if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. But if it's working, then stick with it. Try to find out, give something 6 months. With a lot of my educational tools, I'll give it 6 months to see what is it doing. Is it helping or is it just another expense? If it's another expense, then take it off. Take it off and find what is working for you. It may just be another group that you join that's not working for you. Take that off. See what is actually working for you. Go to a smaller group.
Are
you
getting
close? I mean, you know, that's kind of how it, just revamp it. It's okay to revamp, but it's not okay to do it for 3 years the same way and say it's not working.
That's true. If something's not working, you have to change something and revamp and revise what you're doing. Definitely. Well, this actually brings us to our final question, which makes me sad because I could probably do these interviews for a good 2 or 3 hours if you left it up to me. But please tell us where we can find you online.
I love being online. So with that being said, I mean, I love that network and group of people. You can find me at NidaCradlePhotography.com. You can find me at Nida Cradle Photo on Flickr. You can find me on Twitter. Twitter, I'm at OneCradle2. Instagram is Nida Cradle. And on Facebook, I have a separate Facebook account for my business. It's Nida Cradle Photography on Facebook. And I do have a separate personal account. So personal account, I have that open also. It's Nida Robinson Cradle. I'm an open book.
Excellent. Could you spell your first name for our listeners?
It's NIADA. And it's Cradle, like the baby cradle, CRADLE.
Excellent. We will definitely include those links in our show notes.
Thank you.
And, you know, just thank you for chatting with us today and being so transparent about your business, because it is a journey for all of us and we're all helping each other learn. So we really appreciate chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me. Like I said, that's a new opportunity I had there. I mean, that's a new experience and I think it went okay. I'm fine with that. Thank you for just seeing the value in photography and helping other photographers.
Are you getting ready for your first photo shoot and need to learn some common mistakes to avoid? Or maybe you need to learn how to communicate with your clients and grow your business through email marketing. Or perhaps you're just getting started with your website and you're trying to figure out this WordPress hosting stuff. When you're in business for yourself, it's a lifelong learning process for sure. And that's why I've set up the Pro Photographer Journey Resource Center. You can learn all of this and more through my free and paid self-paced online courses. Each course focuses on these individual topics and is designed to hold your hand every step of the way and help you learn how to run your business more successfully. You'll also find a host of other tools in the Resource Center that are useful for running your photography business, many of which I use myself. From email marketing tools to forming an LLC for your business to cool image editing software, it's there. And wherever possible, I include coupon codes to these online services so that you can grab a discount. So check it out at prophotographerjourney.com/resource-center. That's prophotographerjourney.com/resource-center.